If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
During an Oval Office event yesterday, President Trump called the coronavirus the invisible enemy and said he views the virus like a war. In other words, safely from thousands of miles away.
Recorded from locations that are not 30 Rockefeller Plaza, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with Representative Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts. But first, a closer look.
The Trump administration understands the importance of testing to safely reopen the economy because they're testing themselves. They just don't care about testing you. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Donald Trump doesn't just lie about the big things. He also lies compulsively about the smallest, dumbest things, like how many people were at his inauguration, or who drew a circle on a hurricane map, or whether he's ever even met Eric and Don Jr. I'm sorry, I'm not acquainted with these two charming business lizards. And the lies about the small stuff are red flags for the lies about the big stuff. For example, Trump visited a Honeywell factory in Arizona Tuesday where they were making masks. You might remember the trip from this indelible image of Trump inspecting the masks while Live and Let Die blasted in the background.
Material that traps the particulates.
My favorite part of that clip is how oblivious Trump is to what's going on around him. He's just nodding and pointing at a mask like a tourist at a museum that's on fire. They say she has that smile because she likes the smell of smoke. But you might notice, based on seeing his whole face, that he is not, in fact, wearing a mask. And yet, when he spoke to reporters on Wednesday, he insisted he did, in fact, wear a mask.
Mr. President, yesterday we went to Arizona, and you had said before the trip that you would likely wear a mask at the mask factory. You ended up not wearing one.
Well, I actually did have one, no. I put a mask on, yeah. I had a mask on for a period of time.
We didn't see you with a mask on.
Well, I can't help it if you didn't see me. I mean, I had a mask on, but I didn't need it. But I did put a mask on, and it was a Honeywell mask, actually. And I also had a 3M mask, and I had about four other masks. But I did have it on. I don't know if you saw it or not, but I had it on.
How long did you have it on, sir?
Not too long, but I had it on. I had it on backstage.
Okay, first of all, it's a factory. There's not a backstage. Let's give those machines everything they bargained for, boys. Also, to Trump, everything's a beauty pageant. He was probably expecting the machinist to be wearing sashes. Hi, I'm Ted from Tucson, and, well, I guess my talent is making masks.
Very good, Ted. Now do a twirl. Okay. And now, can we see the swimsuit portion of the factory? Is that nearby?
Second, what do you mean you can't help it if we didn't see you? We saw you. You weren't wearing a mask. You were wearing goggles, which is notable because it's very weird to see a renowned moron like Trump wearing something a scientist wears in a lab. It's like watching a dog use a calculator. Well, there's something much more revealing about this episode than just the fact that the president is a compulsive liar. Trump didn't need to wear a mask because he and all the people around him have been tested for coronavirus, which is obviously quite the luxury, a luxury most Americans don't have. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany was asked why ordinary Americans don't deserve the same access to testing that government officials and corporate executives get, and she mocked the idea of widespread testing as absurd.
You said at Honeywell, the president was told by the folks at Honeywell, as was the team, that they didn't need to wear masks. The reason he was told that is because the people who would be interacting with him had all been tested and had been shown to be negative before that took place. I guess, so the president had those circumstances. Obviously, he's the president. But why shouldn't all Americans who go back to work be able to get a test before they do to feel comfortable in their own work environment to be interacting with other individuals?
Yeah, well, let's dismiss a myth about test right now. If we tested every single American in this country at this moment, we'd have to retest them an hour later and then an hour later after that, because at any moment you could theoretically contract this virus. So the notion that everyone needs to be tested is just simply nonsensical.
Oh, good point. Maybe we should also stop providing food, too, because people will eat a meal and then 4 hours later they're just going to need another meal. Or under quarantine 20 minutes later. But listen to what she's saying there. She's saying you don't need to be tested to go back to work, but the president and everyone around him need to get tested so he can go back to work safely and freely engage in all his favorite hobbies like shaking hands and touching his face, coughing onto other people, and licking chip dust off doorknobs.
Did somebody eat Cheetos? There's a real Cheeto vibe from the doorknob.
That's what this is all about. They just want to protect themselves while telling you that you need to be a warrior and get back out there to get the economy going. Virus be damned. They're all Billy Zane from Titanic shoving themselves through the crowd to get onto a lifeboat while the rest of us float in frigid waters and cling to a door that Rose probably could have let us sit on because, you know, there's clearly enough room. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, is this a business class door? Did you pay for more legroom? I'm sorry, Rose. I know you've been through a lot, but I digress. The point is, they're looking out for themselves, not you. That's why they're testing themselves and stuffing bailout money into the pockets of big corporations and the wealthy. In fact, today, it was reported that the CDC had even written guidelines for safely reopening, but the White House buried them. The Trump administration has shelved the document created by the nation's top disease investigators with step-by-step advice to local authorities on how and when to reopen restaurants and other public places during the still-raging coronavirus outbreak. That's right, the CDC wrote a plan for safely reopening the economy, and the Trump administration covered it up. Basically, they did to the CDC plan what Dr. Fauci did to his face during Trump's briefings.
Oh, that's a good idea, Fauci. I didn't know you could use your hand as a mask. Jared, give me a patent for hand masks. That way, the next time Fauci does it, he'll have to pay me, and I can keep making him do it, and he'll keep having to pay me. Oh, we're going to ruin him, Jared. Oh, we're going to ruin Fauci. Oh, hi, Fauci. Oh, we were just talking about you, weren't we, Jared? Jared, I'm winking. Jared.
In fact, Trump even said this week he doesn't think we need that much testing in order to get people back into the workforce safely.
Look, we have so much testing. I don't think you need that kind of testing and that much testing, but some people disagree with me and some people agree with me.
No. No one agrees with you. I haven't seen one public health officials say, you know what, testing is overrated. The importance of widespread testing is like the one thing they all agree on. If you watch the news, you'll hear the word testing enough to have nightmares about being back in high school. Last night, I woke up in a cold sweat and yelled at my wife, honey, I'm late for the PSATs. Give me a practice test. I need to cram. Or stuff. What's a synonym? Thanks, Kaplan. Of course, Trump doesn't understand tests because he's never taken one without cheating. In college, he just handed in blank essays with a wad of cash clipped to them and a note that said, from Fred Trump. So Trump doesn't think we need that much testing, or at least he doesn't think you need that much testing. He and everyone around him, of course, have a completely different standard.
Everybody traveling has been tested. We have great testing. And literally, they've been tested over the last hour. And the test result comes back in 5 minutes. We have great testing, or they wouldn't be allowed to travel with me. So they're all tested. Everybody traveling on the plane.
Oh, I see. So ordinary Americans being forced back to work can't get tested, but you and everyone around you can. And look, I get that he's the president. He's going to get tested before everyone else. In fact, depending on what the test is for, I'd be fine with that. I think everyone should have access to COVID tests, but I'd be okay with Trump getting a regular CAT scan before he talks to the press. Mr. President, it looks like you have what we in the medical profession call pancake brain. But the point is not that the president shouldn't get tested. It's that if he wants to force working people back into the economy prematurely in the middle of a deadly pandemic, he should make sure everyone else can get tested too. But Trump doesn't actually care about that. In fact, he went to the Honeywell factory without a mask to create the illusion that everything is fine and we can all get back to normal. Because as a showman, there's nothing Trump loves more than a photo op or a prop, like the time he made a big deal of personally redesigning the color scheme of Air Force One. You know, important president stuff. And had a giant model of the new airplane conspicuously placed on a table in the Oval Office during a meeting with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Did you actually have a federal employee make you a toy airplane just so you could show it off to a friend? What's next? You're going to invite Kim Jong-un over to watch you play Xbox while you eat pizza rolls?
Yeah, it's called Rocket League. Pretty cool. Let you play, but I only have one controller. Mike! We need more Totinos!
But hey, I'm just glad Trump has his priorities in order.
Don't forget, the cupboard was bare. The other administration, the last administration, left us nothing.
You're 3 years into your first term.
Yeah.
You're now applying for the job again. What did you do when you became president to restock those cupboards that you say were bare?
Well, I'll be honest, I have a lot of things going on.
You were playing with a toy airplane. Seriously, how old are you, really? I mean, because your face says 90, but your vocabulary says 9. It's like his body is aging normally, but his brain is Benjamin Buttoning. I mean, experts were warning about a pandemic for years, and your big priority was repainting your airplane. If Trump weren't president, he'd be the dude airbrushing his van down by Daytona Beach during a hurricane. You can just picture him with an earring and a goatee getting interviewed in the local news. Sir, why are you out here during this deadly storm?
Well, I gotta finish up the van. I'm putting some privacy beads up in the windows and catch a snooze. You know, when I'm not selling my trinkets on the pier. You want a toy airplane? It's also a bong.
And I like that version of him. In an alternate life, I'm a big fan of that guy. Also, it's not true that the previous administration left the cupboards bare. You're the one who repeatedly proposed cuts to the budgets of agencies like the NIH and CDC, shut down the pandemic planning unit, and ignored a briefing from outgoing Obama officials who tried to prepare you for exactly this kind of scenario before your inauguration. Of course, you couldn't attend that pre-inauguration briefing because you were too busy awkwardly bobbing your head during a Three Doors Down concert like a dad chaperoning his 14-year-old daughter on a date.
Wow, this band is great. I guess you could say they're my kryptonite.
By the way, is a reference to Three Doors Down song for those of you under 40. Well, let's face it, almost all of you over 40 as well. Trump doesn't care or know anything about testing or contact tracing or pandemics. He just loves props and photo ops. That's why another one of his trademark moves is dramatically removing a piece of paper from his coat pocket and showing it off to reporters, whether it's a letter from a foreign leader or a secret trade deal. He's like an old lady who cuts out and mails articles to her grandkids, except he's too cheap to spring for a stamp. At any given time, he's probably toting around like a week's worth of mail. I think he's doing it so if he loses in November, he can say he has civil service protections.
I'm technically a mailman, so you can't fire me without cause.
And this week, Trump has been doing it again. Everywhere he goes, he's been waving around a piece of paper no one can read or vet to support his claim that he's succeeding in ramping up testing for coronavirus.
These numbers were just released, and this is the United States, the amount of testing and our level of testing and the quality of testing. So this is the testing, and the line here is the United States. If we tested as much as these countries down here, okay, who don't do very much testing at all. If I tested this number of people instead of this number of people, I'd have far fewer. If I see this line goes all the way up, over 7 million tests.
No one can see or read what you're holding. Even the anchor can't read it. He's sitting more than 6 feet away from you. Of course, he's probably practicing social distancing, although it's also possible that's one of the conditions of Trump's work release. Donald, your probation requires you to stay at least 6 feet away from everyone at all times or your ankle monitor will go off.
Oh, I thought that noise meant the Totinos were done. What a double burn for me. No pizza rolls and I'm violating probation. Double burn.
Of course, in reality, waving around a piece of paper means nothing. The fact is, Trump's deadly incompetence has made us the global epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak, while other major developed countries have managed to suppress the virus and safely reopen. And that failure is also due in large part to his translucent son-in-law, Jared Kushner, seen here showing off his resting "the dean will hear about this" face. Kushner led a volunteer task force to oversee the White House coronavirus response, and it turns out, wait for it, was amazing and did an incredible job that impressed public health experts across the political spectrum, and I'm just with you. It was a disaster. For example, the task force was charged with securing protective equipment for hospitals, but according to the New York Times, few of the leads panned out. They used personal Gmail accounts, prompting suspicion from some prospective suppliers and brokers who questioned their bona fides. That's right, they were emailing people from personal Gmail accounts trying to buy masks and ventilators. It's like they designed these emails to go directly to spam. Did their emails ask for ventilators and also offer suppliers to help meet hot, horny singles in your area? Don't accept the false dichotomy between staying locked down and reopening the economy. There's a third option where we can safely reopen and involves doing exactly what Trump and his allies are doing for themselves. Widespread testing. But Trump and his allies are only interested in protecting themselves while they use you as cannon fodder to rev up the economy. If you believe Trump or his toadies were ever really populist champions of the working class, it's only because he tricked you. I guess you could say he's
had a mask on for a period of time.
This has been A Closer Look.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great tasting, high quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
Our guest represents Massachusetts 7th Congressional District. Please welcome to the show, Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Seth. It's great to be with you.
You are spending quarantine with your husband, your stepdaughter, and you have a cat of note.
Yes, her name is Sojourner Truth Pressley Harris. We call her Sojo. She's got a mean, resting feline face, and we love her. She's great.
She's a large cat, yes?
Okay, now watch it. This is a body positive household, okay? I know that I showed her to some of your producers and there was a little bit of reaction. She is fluffy. She's got
okay,
no got problems.
You.
Body positive, okay?
All right, understood. All right. She is exactly the cat she is supposed to be.
Exactly. We love her.
One of the things the squad is addressing, the progressive wing of the party is addressing, I think, in general, everyone in the country should be addressing right now, is the racial disparity of how this pandemic is affecting this country. And that the inequality that was baked in before this is what is leading to that. How do you one, address it now in the moment, in the middle of a crisis, while at the same time trying to address the root causes of it to make sure it doesn't happen again?
Yeah, the thing is, the inequities and racial disparities that we see playing out, spotlighted and exacerbated during COVID-19, have been systemically entrenched and embedded for a very long time. So anecdotally, we already knew how this would trend and how this would go. And so early on, myself and several of my colleagues began banging the drum for the collection of racial data in real time, the disaggregation of it, the public reporting of it, so that we can ensure that our public health response is equitable, both in testing and access to treatment. Here's the thing, as we started out behind, we are in the worst position ever that you want to be in confronting a pandemic. And that has everything to do with the criminal negligence, the science denials, press briefings that have really functioned more like disinformation campaigns, and the sluggish response of this administration. So we're behind. And so data, and particularly racial data, is one way that we get ahead of that. So we ensure the resources follow the data, and they are directed to highest infection rates, most vulnerable communities. So we can do mobile testing, antibody testing, contact tracing, and all of those things that are in the best interest of the public health. And then after that, I think it's why we have to support our community health centers. We have to address health disparities, the comorbidities of structural racism, the impact of climate injustices, of food injustices. That is why Black and Latinx communities, which are food deserts, transportation deserts, higher rates of asthma because they disproportionately bear the burden of environmental injustices, have been more susceptible. COVID-19 doesn't discriminate. Anyone can contract the virus, but these communities, my community, is most susceptible to contracting it, and when we do, suffering the most severe consequences.
You've talked about this as a crisis within a crisis, and obviously, Congress is having to address so much that is going wrong right now. Do you feel as though Democratic leadership is being helpful addressing sort of this angle of the situation we're in right now?
Well, you know, myself, community members, activists, and my colleagues, we're focused on putting the people first, not corporations, not private, not profit, not corporations, and focused on the, acknowledging that this is unprecedented hurt. This is a tsunami of hurt. And experts recently said that, you know, maybe 90% of these infections and fatalities could have been stopped had we acted sooner. And so what I'll be focused on in upcoming relief packages is what do we do in the midst of this unprecedented hurt that provides the most relief for people? And that's about getting cash in the pockets of people as quickly as possible. It's about more testing. It's about canceling student debt, canceling rent and mortgages. It's about including our immigrant neighbors who have been excluded to date from every relief package. It's about supports for our most vulnerable, those experiencing homelessness and living in shelter, and also incarcerated men and women. And then beyond that, I just want to say this. The fact that we needed a moment like this to prove to us who are essential workers, they've always been essential. And they should have never been treated as if they are disposable. And that's how we've been functioning. They should be working at a living wage. We could have already addressed that. We must do that in the future. Having hazard pay, paid sick leave, paid family and medical leave. So the path forward is that we've got to move boldly. When people say they can't wait till we return to normal, normal, Seth, was unjust, insufficient, and inadequate to begin with. So this is an opportunity both in addressing the racial disparities and in centering the humanity and the dignity of every individual, of every family, of every worker, then we've got to go bold. Think about how we would have weathered this if we already had universal health care, if people were already working at a living wage, if we already had universal paid sick leave and paid family medical leave.
So I want to ask you about this. In the wake of Tara Reade's allegations against Joe Biden, you wrote a really beautifully written post on Medium that I recommend everybody check out. You talked about being a sexual assault survivor yourself and how survivor's justice is a really hard thing to achieve. How do you think moments like this need to be addressed regardless of political party?
Well, they have to be addressed in good faith. And I have to, you know, just point out the fact that I think many who are offering commentary in the discourse are not doing that with good faith. They don't care about survivors healing and justice. They don't care about due process. You know, they're doing what people have done for far too long, and that is to take this issue, to take my survivor community, and use people as political fodder and footballs. These are the same people that vote consistently against the Violence Against Women Act reauthorization, which is still sitting on the desk of Mitch McConnell. So we have to operate in good faith. We have to be good faith partners. We have to be willing to have hard conversations. I think we have not gotten this right as a society, as lawmakers, as a culture. And this is an opportunity through partnership and hard conversations to get there.
You were recently honored as Villain of the Week on Fox News. Is that something that you take as a point of pride when something like that happens?
Let me brush my shoulder. So let me just say this. I'm so proud of our daughter, Cora. She recently earned straight A's, and in fact, two A pluses, one in Spanish and one in science. And, you know, we printed it out and we put it up, you know, on our family sort of a wall bulletin board. And I did the same thing when that came out. If Fox is calling me the villain of the week, that is really only evidence that I'm being the woman my mother raised me to be, and that I am advancing progressive values and making people uncomfortable in the pursuit of progress. And I am perfectly fine with that. So judge me by my enemies, please.
Congresswoman, thank you so much for making the time for us today. It was a delight to talk to you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Seth, and happy Mother's Day to everyone. And I just want to say justice for Ahmaud Arbery. I'll be thinking of his family this weekend.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, la, 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 where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.